playoff. They got back deep, eye back, and let him run the ball. So we don't have that type of an offense. So our offensive line is not the type. They're not pushing people off the ball. You understand? They're not pushing people off the ball.
Yeah,
so
well, they don't ask them to do that.
They don't ask them to do that.
Right.
You know, it's more like a step and read or something like that, which I don't like either. I want to be able to pound some people to death, man, especially smaller teams. You got to be able to run the ball on them. And like you say, John Kelly, wonderful runner. He's done a lot on his own, too, now. He's done a lot of on his own.
Yeah.
And he makes some great runs. Good cuts. Oh, man.
Good cuts. He has the ability. Really does.
You know,
to be a really special, special player here.
Definitely.
And let's go back to our phones. And Kelly on the night again, as you heard before.
Buck 28
on 19 attempts, and then he hauls in another 5 for 35. Yeah. And he just, a couple times, finished runs that, well, he played like a champion tonight. I'm just going to call it what it was. He had what?
That Coach Majors lean.
There you go.
That Coach Majors lean.
There's something old school in his game. There's no doubt about it. Let's go back to our phones and let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome. Yes, you're on the fifth quarter fan reaction presented by our friends at your Garza Law Firm. Hello.
Hey, Tony. This is Richard from Park City, Tennessee. How you doing,
Richard. Man? Beautiful Park City. Welcome in.
Hey, just want to comment on a couple of things. I mean, you know, obviously very fortunate to win tonight, but, you know, turnovers, we took two from them. We didn't have any, and special teams. I mean, you talk about it, it's a cliche, but it really is true.
Yeah, that's the game. That is absolutely the game.
And, you know, you sit back and it's almost sometimes, and I'm just going to say this. We think that every game's got to be this perfect game where we come out and we do this and we do that and it's an ugly win or it's a pretty win or whatever. I don't know if anybody can remember, our national championship season was littered with games where, you know, the Arkansas game where we should have lost that one. You know, I mean, it just seems that if the years go by, if it's not the way everybody wants it to be, then we're not doing well. We're 1-0. Butch Jones is 5-0. It's his first 5 years and first games. You know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I hate to be the reason of optimism, but I guess somebody has to be.
Well, yeah. I'm here to tell you that he's gotten lucky 2 years in a row in openers. So
he has, but this game felt different than last year's game from the point of being – that Georgia Tech was a lot better team than that App team that we played last year. A lot better team.
There's no doubt about that.
You know, but, you know, it's just the first half, if you look at the first two series we had in offense, if we could have done anything with the ball at all and scored, we stopped them on the first three drives. We shut them down. But then when our offense couldn't do anything, it's just like it gave them momentum. And then once they got going with it, it was just all downhill after that.
You know, I look at what we saw the other night or tonight, last night, tonight, and I just say, boy, this football team's got a lot of concerns. And they really have a lot of concerns. But to your point, I would much rather be Tennessee than Texas A&M. So
I'm telling you,
definitely. Oh, you know, man. Did they fire him?
Well, they, I can't believe John.
Did
Tate
you see
still
what
employed?
The Board of Regents guy said?
He wants to fire.
He has one vote, but if it was his, it'd be gone.
Yeah, he wants to fire the head coach after one game. I mean, we're officially in silly season. You know,
yeah.
Literally 60 minutes into their game. But you make a great point in that there's something to be said for winning, and. We have a lot of issues, but college football is full of teams with issues. Look at the SEC East. After tonight's game, I still say, why can't we win the East? Why can't we?
Yeah.
I agree. I mean, as far as it's wide open, and quite honestly, you know, you hate to say it, but, you know, Vanderbilt has just as good a chance of winning the SEC East as anybody.
You are exactly right.
Of course.
No, they looked very good against Middle. Their quarterback has greatly improved. Their offensive line looked good. I mean, they actually look representative on offense, which they looked very good against us. Here's my problem with our football team. Bob Shoup went, and as much as you say tonight was a perfect opponent and all that stuff, and all that's true, that option, and it's all gone out the window. I didn't see a dime's worth of change on defense from us. No adjustments and no secondary. You got to have corner play. Am I wrong?
You know, I'm thinking, you know, at some point you got to put nine men in the box.
That's what Tanya
said. And make them beat you deep. You know, if you can't do any better than that.
Yeah, like here's the thing. I will give Tex head coach Paul Johnson, though I think he's a rectum, I'll give him a lot of credit. At the end of that game, he said, okay, here's the deal. We've rushed the ball, whatever it is, 535 yards on you. I'm putting the ball on the two-yard line, and you're either going to stop me or you're not. And if you stop me, good for you. You're going to win and make a liar out of me. And there's some of these. When do we do that on defense? When,
thank you.
That's the deal. I mean, you got to gamble. At some point, you what are we doing here?
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's no excuses right now. We don't have 17 injuries to hang our hat on like we did last year. Oh, well, he was dealt this really bad hand. No, the fact of the matter is we brought in this extra coaches. We have all these, you know, Shoup is supposed to be a defensive mastermind. It was our first game, and we've been working on this since spring camp. We have better players, supposedly. We have better facilities. No way we don't have better facilities. We've got all this stuff. How can we not be ready to handle that for one game?
It's a great point. And, you know, you started out the call by saying the 98 thing. I mean, God bless you if you want to live in that. I just look at this.
No.
No, I understand. And I know what you're saying, which is, we won.
You know, it's just you gotta temper it. You have to temper everything with we gotta win right now, but on the other hand too, I would rather be having the luxury of talking about didn't do right tonight being 1-0 than 0-1.
Absolutely. And there's something to be said for winning. And let's hope, you know what? If we go to Florida and give up 700 yards to their god awful offense,
and we win.
More power to you, brother. I'll take it.
I'll take it. Well,
thank you for the call, though.
Me too.
Good talking to you. And that's the thing about this. We're 1-0. I have no idea how we're 1-0, Tone. And there's something to be said for winning.
Defense.
And heart.
Even though they gave up their almost 600 yards of offense.
Yeah.
But, hey, I tell you what. Our defense does us a lot of credit, too, now.
How?
Those turnovers. Those turnovers were big pluses for us, Tony. And
Bitoli's strip is just gigantic.
Hey, that Bitoli's strip and early in the game.
And then Golden strip later.
Tony, those were two key plays. Those were two big plays in the game.
It's good.
Because we needed them.
Bino the Great in here who's joining us now. We're going to continue to take calls. But Bino, your snap judgments on what we saw tonight on a night where we were talking about it in pregame. Shy Tuttle did not play tonight, and I think it's a good decision to not put him out there against those guys.
Tony B, T-Rob, good morning to you. How you doing?
Good morning, my brother. How are you, man?
I tell you the truth. As I watched that game unfold, there is no way in the world I thought we'd be on here talking about a victory. I mean, we absolutely stole one tonight. But it's a hell of a lot better to steal one than get one stolen from you.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, my brother. Absolutely, man.
You
guys have touched on some big things here. The thing that I took out of tonight's game is Georgia Tech absolutely dominated the football game with their offense. But their offense, although it keeps their opponent's offense off the field, they limit their own opportunities too, which means they're going to keep you in the ball game. So you get two turnovers, you score 14 points off those turnovers, and that's how you win the football game. That and the fact that your kicking game is so much better than theirs. But they're not going to run you out of the game. It doesn't matter how many they run for.
You're right about that. You know, regardless of how many yards they run for, because, you know, you got to look at that offense, man. There's a lot of options there. But,
I mean,
But
they're limited in their own possessions too.
That's right.
And that's the only thing. I mean, we never got to the point to where we were more than two strikes away from doing it, and they're two turnovers even the thing up.
And see, that's the thing about that, turnovers. Those turnovers killed them, and it helped us.
And that, and you know what else was weird? Knowing what you saw about their field goal kicker, would you have attempted that field goal from 40 plus yards when they did, Bino? Because there's no way in the world. I'm thinking to myself, that right there, when you're up 14 points, is how you get beat.
He can't kick extra points. He has extra point.
He's awful, guys. He's awful. And I'm glad they did it. But that's total mismanagement by Paul Johnson, putting game in his hands.
One of six teams in America that had a field goal kicker and a punter that had never had an attempt coming into the game. And that's a tough place to be, especially running that offense.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And fortunately, we saw their field goal kicker. Unfortunately, we didn't see their punter.
We saw early, right? The first two possessions.
Yeah, and their punter took a shower. In fact, I heard a report from the sidelines that he was seen inside Tennessee's trash can at one point.
You know, that college football is such a cheesy game now across the board. And the kids like gimmicks. I'm an old man. I don't. And we got the cheesiest. I mean, Butch ought to be wearing one of those cheese heads over there because he's about the cheesiest there is. But one last thing, Tony, and I'll shut up and we'll jump some collars in here. You're exactly right. Batuta played a heck of a game. Darryl Taylor played a heck of a game. Other than that, I'm not sure what we have defensively. And I don't believe Bob Shute could stop our opponent's marching band, let alone their offense.
That's a pretty good low blow right there, Bino.
Bino, good blow there. Because we're going to have to do it. Because our defense needs a lot of work here, especially that secondary. Our secondary looks like they belong in that trash can.
Oh, man.
Let me ask you this, T-Rob. Uh-huh. Let me ask you this about using your personnel. Marquez Callaway is a stud. If Juwan Jennings is healthy, we know he can play. Josh Palmer appears where he can play. It's time to put Tyler Bird in that secondary.
Tyler needs to go back to defense because he's not on offense right now. I've seen Tyler Bird drop a couple passes today. Tonight should have been called.
I think it's a great thought, and the kid has expressed interest in wanting to play on that side of the line of scrimmage. Which, again,
why not Barry? Why not Barry?
Jones is not. One thing about Butch Jones though, and his staff is that they're not progressive thinking in terms of utilizing personnel. And I'm not piling on them, but it's just the way it is.
But you're right. But when you don't use your personnel and you don't play these guys,
right?
You stay in the same spot. Look, other teams are moving up.
There is no doubt.
Everybody else is moving up.
There is no, you get no argument from me.
You know what I mean?
No doubt that's true.
Like you say, Batuli, what even pills on in?
And
now he comes out 20 plus tackles.
Bino, am I lying about that? The 2 weeks ago, he was not going to play. Am I lying about that, Bino?
That's what we've heard, Tony.
I've been out of the loop for him for about the last month because I've been out of town, but I get back and I get hit across the head with all this news, and I'm watching the game and I see, who's this number 35?
He's a hell of a player.
This kid here, man, I'm going to UT next week, man. I'm going to UT
He played lights out.
I'm going to UT this week, and I will be in a couple of practices, and I tell you what, I got to look up Mr. Batuli.
There's no question, and I guarantee he shows.
He is a baller.
I wonder what they're going to do, though. Well, let's go back to our phones.
Well, hey.
And we'll get as many people in here. Let me get our next call in because folks are patiently waiting on hold. It's after 1 o'clock in the Eastern time zone. Bino is on with us on a night where Tennessee hangs on and wins a 42-41 game, which will go down in school history from the historians as one of the weirdest, oddest, strangest. It felt like Halloween night tonight, and Bob Shute came as a defensive coordinator. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you.
Good talk to you.
Hey, listen, I'm maybe just try to talk some of these guys off the ledge right now. I'm from Middle Tennessee, from Nashville area, but I went to Florida State. So I've been watching, you know, Georgia Tech for a while. And that offense is up there. And from what I saw tonight, I mean, I don't think that it's as bad as everybody thinks it is. I mean, Tennessee in the early going, they kept their gaps. They stayed disciplined, but they got away from that. And if you do that against Paul Johnson, they're going to eat you up. And that's what happened. They started chasing the football, and it got out of hand in a hurry. We got what? What did we get? 2-3 stops early on in the game, and then before you knew it, couldn't stop them for anything, and it was because we had no discipline on the defensive side of the ball at all. So there's two ways you stop that triple option. You either get pressure and you break it up, or you keep your discipline. They didn't do either. And so that's a concern that we couldn't get that pressure. But I don't necessarily think, because they're not going to see that again this year. From who? Maybe Auburn if they play them, but we don't play them this year. So it's, you know, there's nobody else that you see that from. So, you know, I just think, you know, it's not as bad as everybody thinks it is. The thing that I would be more concerned with is the offensive line, because I saw Georgia Tech in that backfield on almost every play.
And it started early. John Kelly had an early run. I made a note of this, where he scampered for 11 yards. And he was hit behind the line of scrimmage 2.5 yards on the initial contact. Let me tell you something. Tennessee's offensive line, if it doesn't get better, it's going to be right where Florida State is. Florida State the other night almost got that quarterback killed because they can't block. It's
Tony, I heard you earlier today, and I had to laugh because I was at Atlanta. I was there. I was sitting in the nosebleeds, and I had to pay $500 for that ticket, but I was there. And I disagree because I watched every game. Trust me, I've seen every Florida State game in the last 20 years. That we pass blocked a way better than we. Now, I'm not saying DeAndre didn't take shots. You're going to take shots, period. But he had time to throw the ball in that first half, but that's not the game we're talking about. But no, I get what you're saying. What I saw tonight, I'm alarmed that Georgia Tech's defensive front.
Right.
Basically, I mean, they ran. Dormady did a great job to get the ball out. I mean, a lot of really quick throws, you know. I'm just concerned. I'm concerned because I didn't think Georgia Tech had that kind of a push
Tony, tell our caller what he just said. Now, listen, Tony's got a great point. Go ahead, Tony.
Close only counts in horseshoes, my friend, because they no sacks.
But our caller's got a great point in this, Tony. You're playing an undersized Georgia Tech team, and I'll give our caller credit. He's familiar with the ACC, and he says offensively, your defense, Tennessee, is not as bad as you think it is.
No,
he's saying the offensive line, however, it's a 5-alarm fire after tonight. Am I reading you correctly, caller?
100%. 100%.
Trey Smith is a man.
It's bad, and trust me, Tony, I've seen the bad offensive line play from my own team.
Yes.
So I know what it looks like, but it's early in this game. Why did we keep going, if not three and out, but not moving the ball? Because we couldn't. God bless it. Every time they snapped the ball, it seemed like the right tackle was just all over us. Like whatever number he was, it was just or up the middle, whatever. Any blitz it would just seem like we couldn't pick it up.
Well, it's a great point by you, and it's a great phone call, and I appreciate your time. And thank you, my friend, for being there. Spread the word for us, please, my friend. Spread the word. What'd you say, Tom?
Even though he's a Florida State man.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Hey, man. Thank you, brother. Good talking to you.
Hey, Bino, get in here. Your thoughts on what our caller just had to say.
No, I thought he made several good points, Tony. Now, a lot of our alarm comes from the fact that we've seen this inability to stop the run from several styles of offense over the latter part of last year and now against Georgia Tech. Heck, we've never stopped that offense, but they've never run for miles on us. I mean, usually we've measured it in yards. The offensive line is a big concern. It's our most experienced unit on the field, and they didn't look it tonight.
And that's a great point. Al, get in here because Butch Jones has met the depressed, and he had some interesting nuggets for us all.
Yeah, nothing, unfortunately, too insightful as far as the injuries goes. I'll get to that in just a second. Main thing you talked about, three games in 13 days. We all expected a quote somewhat around that. He said we've got to get better and make tremendous progress in referring to the next couple of weeks. He talked about Paul Bain, the guy who relatively unheard of before the ball game, the guy who blocked the kick at the end. Interesting here, he said he's a walk-on who has two jobs to keep him going in school. So, I mean,
it's one of his jobs, defensive coordinator.
I believe that was May tonight may have been something with Team 121 painted on it. That was
Bino was one of that kid's jobs to hold that garbage can.
I think he earned it with scholarship.
Not only do I peel off a scholarship for him, but I think, Bino, I do Alabama style and peel off about $50,000 for him. Hello.
Well, I tell you this, guys. No better than our defensive tackles are playing. I don't care how many stars they have beside their name. Paul Bain ought to be playing.
Thank you. I like the lining up of the defensive tackles 6 yards deep, Bino. That took John Chavis's prevent to a new level tonight.
Yeah. Guys, I believe, and it didn't work. Obviously, it didn't work. I think they were trying to counteract cut blocks by keeping their defensive linemen back, but I mean, what's the difference?
Put him in the damn parking lot if you're going to do that. Yeah. Good, yeah, line him up behind the safety if you're going to do that.
Bino, I tell you what,
Paul Bain is my boy.
If I was Georgia Tech, I'd have kept running that that power sweep with the quarterback. All
no question. Well, thank God they went away from that.
I'm glad that was a 2-point conversion play.
Oh my God! I was waiting for that. I thought, here comes a sweep.
Yeah.
For some reason, they kept it in the middle.
The guard, the tackle, and just on and.
Are you stopping him? Who's tackling him at the point of attack?
Nobody.
Go ahead, Continue. Yeah.
Butch said he'll probably go. He probably aged him 20 years when referring to tonight's game and I guess some of the ones last year.
Well, Bob, Butch Jones. Touché to you.
In terms of Juwan Jennings, he said, in terms of Juwan, we'll know a little bit more when we get back to Knoxville. So, like I said, unfortunately, no real news on there. He did get asked about Jarrett Garantano, but kind of shied away, saying Jarrett will get his opportunity, but each game is different in and of itself. So, again, a lot of coach speak for Butch Jones tonight.
And it's interesting that, you know, Jones is going to say that. It was interesting that Kirk Herbstreit would single him out on the telecast. And, Bino, you had a chance to hear the telecast. How accurate, in your mind, is Garantano's body language over there as they chose to, unfortunately for that young man, show him during the game tonight?
Well, Tony, it certainly looked bad. I hate to sit here and try to read a young man's mind. I've got no idea what's going through his mind. You know, Herbstreit's a former quarterback and felt like that Garantano at least needed to be more involved in when they were having discussions. But you know, Tony, how on ESPN they can take a theme and make it look however they want to make it look. So I'm not going to go there, but it didn't look good.
Alex, great work by you. Anything else you'd care to add, numbers-wise or otherwise? And appreciate the quick update there.
Yeah, we'll get some more numbers as the night goes throughout. Like I said earlier, really the number that stuck out to me looking at team stats is time of possession. Again, 41 minutes and 21 seconds to Georgia Tech, which you expect because of their offense, but 18:33 for Tennessee. For Georgia Tech, 96 plays offensively. Tennessee just 59. And real quick, when you talk about a point, kind of watching, and I thought this last year, and I'm not the first one to say it, but when you look at John Kelly, he almost seems like the perfect mashup, between Alvin Kamara and Jalen Hurd, because he's got the shiftiness and the quickness and the hands out of the backfield of a Kamara, but when you run him through the tackles, he just has, seems like a little bit more power, but he's quick enough. You know, Jalen Hurd over the past couple of years, it almost seems like he's just a half a step away from breaking one. John Kelly seems like he's found the right mixture of those.
Well, you know.
Great point, man.
Yeah, great point. I like it, but you have an Alvin Kamara and a John Kelly in the same backfield. Man. What, you just, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Ideas just fly at your head, man. You know, with the offense, if you have a John Kelly and a Alvin Kamara in your offense, what are the possibilities?
I like to see Bob Shoup try and stop that.
Hey, anybody trying to stop that? But
Bino, hey, am I ripping Bob Shoup?
John Kelly.
Bino, am I ripping Bob Shoup too much?
Bob Shoup deserves to be ripped, Tony. I mean, he hasn't, other than Nebraska in the bowl game, he hadn't stopped any. His defenses hadn't stopped anybody in months, and it doesn't matter what kind of style they're running. We just looked lost defensively.
Nebraska was whiter than I am, Tony.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the phones and get our next call in. 865-200-5402. John Kelly tonight rushes for 128 yards on 19 attempts. And he catches five balls for 35 on the back end of that. And every play, he finished every run and every catch. And he a bad man. Let's go back to the phones and get our next call in. Hello and welcome. You're on the Garza Law fifth quarter fan reaction. Welcome.
How you doing, Tony?
Hey, welcome in. Appreciate you being there.
This first call of the year. Love your show. Couple observations. I disagree with the offensive line in the second half. I thought they got pushed. I thought they had gave Dormady time to throw the ball. Not in the first half, but I think the second half, Georgia Tech ended up not being able to stop us. And my biggest disappointment, I mean, Shoup can be a difference, but Khalil McKenzie, he got blown up all the time tonight. I mean, he was 4 or 5 yards off the line of scrimmage getting blocked. He has not performed like we thought this guy was going to perform.
No, I mean, quite frankly, his, so far the peak of that young guy's career, and I'm sure he'd be the first to tell you this, was a hype video when he was in shorts. I mean, that's the greatest play he made as a Vol thus far. And it's got to be tough for him. Now, what's interesting about Khalil McKenzie is that Jerry Glanville told us both last year, Tony, that he thinks this guy's an offensive lineman playing defense. And he looked tonight like an offensive lineman playing defense. Is that not true, Tony?
Glanville was right on the money. He was right on the money.
I mean, that's what Jerry told us. And Jerry said, I went to his father, who's an NFL GM, and he said, I said it right to his face. And I said, what did his father say? And he said, well, he looked at me and said, you might be right. I mean, look, to play defensive line and to play tackle at that level, you have got to have a mentality about you.
You have to be nasty, man.
And you got to be a
gotta be
nasty
angry.
Dude.
You
got to
be nasty down there, man, in the trenches. You got to be
nasty
guy.
I mean, especially just Georgia Tech, because if you're a DT, you have to take on two blockers. That's what you're doing as a DT against this Georgia Tech offense. And I still don't understand us playing 2 yards off the ball, but that's a different matter altogether. But, I mean, he was just smoked. And Justin Martin, God bless him, I don't want to see him on the field again.
I feel so sorry for him because he had a great camp. He had a great attitude. He beat out Wiggins, who did not have a great attitude during camp. And God bless the poor guy. But, and I don't want to speak ill of somebody because, really, they're just college kids trying. That poor guy got toasted.
Toasted.
I mean, toasted.
The third and 12 that, to me, not that we could stop anybody, but that changed the game. He took a 10-yard first down and let it go 30 yards, and then he's playing 10 yards off the ball on a third and 7.
If you saw 8 lined up and you're in single coverage over there, when you see us in the future, let's say you're that young quarterback from Georgia. I am checking out of whatever I'm
whatever
in.
Whatever it is, T. And I'm going to eat this kid up, man.
I mean, that's a shame.
Yeah,
he was bad tonight.
What did you say, was 3rd and 12 or something like that?
Oh, man. He was bad.
He was in his zone. He was in his zone, wasn't he? This kid wasn't even on the field, man.
That's a shame.
Gosh.
He is totally scared at this point.
What he tra-
he's
was
afraid
a
to make mistake.
He's a senior, yeah.
So what has he been playing?
He was a JUCO kid. And he came in last year.
Okay,
and
that
he struggled.
Explains everything now.
Well,
you know what? Let me explain something.
Go ahead.
Every JUCO that I've played with.
Here we go. Tones get ready. Get real here.
Every JUCO that I've known since I've played when I was playing at UT, if they came to UT, has done nothing.
That's not true, Tony. We've had some junior college players that have contributed.
I'm just saying the guys that played with me now. I'm not naming these future. I'm talking the guys that I played with.
Tony, we've had JUCO kids come in here and play well. But here's But here's a problem to our caller. The problem with JUCO callers is if they aren't very good right away, year two, they're not going to be good. They're just not.
No, I agree. But Dale Carter, Leonard Little, we've had some good JUCOs.
Let me clarify this thing.
Go ahead.
I'm not saying we hadn't had any good JUCO players. I'm talking about in my era when I was playing. The JUCO guys that we had.
Tony just went crazy.
I'm just saying. No, Dale Carter, those guys were great guys. But when I was playing at UT from the 82 to 85, we had some good JUCO guys come in. And I tell you what, guys, they didn't pan out for nothing. Well, we had a guy that was 200. A running back, Thomas Jefferson.
Listen, Thomas Jefferson.
A running back from USC.
A very good. Kamara was a great player last year. Okay. As people are making the point, here's the point. Kamara jumped off the page at you right away. He was a guy that was at Alabama. You knew right away what you had in him.
Right.
This Martin guy, I mean, here's the thing about junior college players. You know right away whether or not they can play. Right. It's my contention. And unfortunately for him, it looks like through one game, that's going to hold true. Yes. That's my adage. It might be wrong. It might be totally incorrect. I'll let you finish up, caller, and then I want to grab Bino's thoughts. Go ahead.
No problem. Plus, I just want to give a shout-out. Batuli was awesome today. I mean, really the first time. And then Callaway, talk about people popping off the page the first time you see them. Those two guys popped off the page that you know they're going to be players for the rest of their career here.
That's an awesome call by you. Thank you. Bino, comments on the comments. Go ahead.
I thought that the caller's correct. I think the offensive line did play better toward the end of the game. The fourth quarter and the overtimes were the only time that we really had the ball any amount of time, and I think that their defense tired a little bit like ours did, and our offensive line began to get a little push. As far as Martin goes, guys, it's even – he's a three-to-play-three guy. This is his third year on campus. He couldn't play the first 2 years. Generally, if they can't play the first 2 years, they're not going to be able to play the third.
But Bino, junior college players, my contention is right away you know what you have.
That's right. You're right. You're right, Tony. You're right. Well, I'm saying he's had 3 years rather than two.
But Bino, now, correct me if I'm wrong. When you go out and get a junior college player, you're expecting this guy to come in and play some ball.
Absolutely.
Right away.
Immediate
player. Okay, I was just saying, back when I was playing, expect the same thing. We got a running back, junior college player named Thomas Jefferson, 200-something pounds, 6'3", big running back. Didn't play down.
He's one of our founding fathers, so let's
go
back.
You know, I'm just saying, I think junior college, if you get a junior college player, he's expected to play right off.
Well,
some of them are.
Let's go back to our busy phones at 22 past the hour. Why am I giving the timeout? Damn, I'm fried. Alex just thought of another junior college player. It's been hit or miss under Butch Jones. This guy was a miss, though the media tried to sell him to us. And who is it?
Big Dontavious Blair.
I mean, who could forget?
Oh, goodness.
And they knew right away they knew this guy cannot play. That's the thing about junior college guys. You don't wait for the test to come in on junior college guys. Let's jump back to our phones and get our next call in, 865-200-5402. Poor Martin tonight just had a tough night, man. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, guys. Bino made a point earlier about how Georgia Tech's offense almost keeps other teams in games. Is that correct?
Yes, he did. He sure did.
Yeah. I really think that's true of our offense as well. I think that offense coming out in that first and second quarter, our defense was doing good that first quarter. And they just got gassed because we kept going three and out, three and out, three and out. Now, the fortunes really turned for us. And I'll tell you, where we really caught a break was in the overtime. The Georgia Tech defense had to go out there and play two back-to-back stands against us because we switched sides after we both scored. I really thought that had a big turn. Guys, we just don't have the depth. And that y'all keep talking about the offensive line. And they are not – when they're allowed to push forward and maul people, they're awesome. When they're in that stupid two-point stance or whatever this thing is, at 300-something pounds, you're playing right into a 250-pound strong guy's hands. So,
well, that's an issue. Here you go. You have a defensive line tonight that you outman 25, 30 pounds. That's no joke.
Thank you.
That's no exaggeration. Put your damn helmet on them and shove them backwards. What did Georgia Tech do to us tonight? And they certainly don't have some kind of size advantage. And I realize it's two different animals. I understand that. And I understand that their offense by its nature is going to confuse you and it's going to be physical and they're going to cut block you and all those things. How much more physical at the point of attack on both sides of the line of scrimmage was Georgia Tech to our football team? It just doesn't make any sense. We got lucky, guys, to get out of there with a win tonight. And they were manhandling us at times. And, yes, we were better offensively. But we really were manhandled at times.
I will take luck 12 times this year, Tony. If that's what it takes, I'll take it every time. Well, remember, it was a couple months ago. Y'all were really singing the praises about the offensive line. And I called you and I told you. I said, man, I don't care if this offensive line improves 100%. They stunk last year.
No doubt about it.
The fact that they're singing their praises either tells me, A, our defense stinks, or B, because they got a long way to go to be good because they're not SEC caliber. And I don't want to be unfair to those guys. They're not allowed to go on their strength right now. This system, and I will always maintain it, just sucks for these guys. All the players, except John Kelly, those guys. But, I mean, that quarterback, he does not belong in that system. Our offensive linemen do not belong in that system. It's just unfair to those guys.
Yeah, and
am I wrong on that?
No, and I'm looking at John Kelly, and I'm thinking if you put him in a conventional offense – and you give him a damn fullback with
fullback.
The way he runs.
He'll be a stud, man.
I mean, he finishes people.
Yeah.
He's so tough. Listen, I appreciate the phone call, and it's great talking with you. Thanks for staying up with us tonight, man.
Yes, sir, bud. Thanks, man.
In the soul, in my heart, in the soul. Make no mistake about it. Those of you that are up with us right now, it's in the heart and in the soul, and I so appreciate you being there. Let me say one word to you here about something that we have coming up, and it's very special. I want you to share the Vols with others, no matter where you're hearing my voice right now. We are doing a benefit with the children of incarcerated parents coming up for the UMass game. And by the way, our number as that caller exits is 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. I want you to share the volunteers with children of incarcerated parents by donating your tickets to our tailgate for the kids' weekend. It benefits the children served by Amachi Knoxville. Those of you watching on Periscope will see the graphic up on our screen. Many kids will be going to the UMass Tennessee game, and they'll be attending their first ever Tennessee football game. Our goal this year is 300 tickets. That's 150 kids in that gate. Plus, they're folks who give their time in their lives for these kids. Now, last year we had a tremendous, I'm telling you, a tremendous tailgate, and I get emotional thinking about it. Bino will attest to this. Bino, what was my favorite day last year? The Florida game and the Georgia game, notwithstanding. Bino, what do I tell you was my favorite day last year of 2016?
It was the tailgate over there for Machi.
I've never, in all my years of doing this, experienced. I had a young kid, and I'm getting a little choked up thinking about this, but I'm talking to him, and I said, I shook his hand, and he said, Mr. Tony, thank you for inviting me to this. And I said to him, I said, look, I wouldn't have it any other way. And I told this young guy, I said, listen, we're so glad you're here, man. You matter to us. And we were playing a game together, cornhole or something, and I was trying to let the kid win. And then I realized even if I tried my best, I wasn't going to beat this kid. And so I said to him, I said, so, tell me about yourself. And he looks at me and he said, hey, he said, my dad's in jail. And the kid was like I told you, he wasn't even a teenager. He said, my dad's in jail till I'm 30. He said, and my mom, I haven't seen her in a while. And I just thought to myself, if I could just bottle this and bring you, the listener, to this thing and you saw it. And so I want to invite you. We're going to be in Circle Park for the UMass game. If you're listening to the sound of my voice, come on out and I want you to see this. I want you to experience this. And I need your, we need your tickets. We need your tickets. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Let's go to the phones. I'm hoping Courtney Dunbar will send me her tickets. Bino, is that a cheap shot? I am a total simpleton. Please go to TonyBasilio.com. You'll see our P.O. box there. And we really want you to be involved in this. Let's go back to the phones. 865-200-5402. The volunteer spirit is alive and well with what we're doing, and it's just super duper exciting. And I want to thank my friends at Amachi Knoxville for allowing us to serve them, because that's what we do here. We serve them. And thank you for being there. 865-200-5402. Let's jump back to our busy phones and we'll get our next call in. And we're running several lines tonight, so please be patient. And we'll get as many folks in as humanly possible, as all lines are currently jammed at this hour. It is 1:30 in the Eastern time zone, and all lines are currently, and I am not kidding you, jammed. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome in. You're on the Garza Law Fifth Quarter Fan Reaction. Welcome.
Well, the good news is, Tony, I'm only 12:30 my time, because I've got, this is BK from Nashville.
I mean, hey, 12:30 your time. It's still early. The night's still young. Let's party.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I'm going to keep it brief, but, I want to get your thoughts on the young guys. I thought Ty Chandler, I expected more out of him tonight, and some of the younger guys, but maybe I missed something. Can you guys give me a little insight on what those young guys have done tonight? And I'll hang in.
I really believe, Tony, that Ty Chandler and Palmer are going to be really good players.
Yep.
We didn't have enough possessions tonight for them to get a true opportunity.
Nope.
In a regular football game, I think people are going to see that we've got some good young players on the offensive side.
We, in tonight's football game, I want to give you some numbers on defense, okay? And then because this is where it's at. In fact, Alex, why don't you do that at 865-200-5402 is our number. And then I want to get Tony's reaction and Bino's reaction, and then we'll continue the phone calls here. Go ahead, A.
Thanks, Tony. This Look Inside the Numbers is brought to you by Performance Medicine. Perform at your best with Dr. Tom Rogers at Performance Medicine. Finally, Tony, a doctor you can talk to. Call to set up an appointment today at 865-249-7672 or visit them at performancemedicine.net, located in Knoxville and the Tri-Cities. I'll talk about the defensive stats really quick, and then I'll also touch on the point the last caller had about kind of an update for what the younger guys did. Defensively, tackles, Daniel Batuli, obviously the stud tonight on defense, 23 tackles, 11 of which were solo. Colton Jumper, big night for him, 18 tackles, 3 solo. He was second on the team as far as those numbers go. Darrell Taylor, 13 tackles, 6 solo. Cortez McDowell at linebacker, 13 tackles, 7 total solo. And a couple of updates, as I said, for that caller wanting to know what some of the freshmen did. You mentioned Ty Chandler looked good in his one carry. If I'm not mistaken, I think he may have got a touch on special teams. I'm not sure 100% on that. Defensively, Nigel Warrior, although he's not a freshman, but this is really his first start, so he's still one of those younger guys the caller was talking about, 12 tackles in his first start tonight. So it's a pretty strong showing from him. Butch Jones mentioned in his press conference about his ability to kind of roam the field with his speed and range. Also, Josh Palmer had 2 tackles on the night, even though he's a wide receiver, so I'm assuming that those were on special teams. Palmer also, on the offensive end of things, caught 1 ball for 7 yards. So there's some stats for you.
Bino, your thoughts, Bino, on those numbers, and then we'll go back to the phones.
I'm not surprised, Tony. I thought that obviously Batuli jumped off the page. Darrell Taylor jumped off the page. And I knew that Colton Jumper was in on a whole lot of plays, especially in the first half. In the second half, I thought he had a little bit of trouble getting off blocks and overrunning a couple of plays, but I believe we're underselling our offensive side a little bit just simply because of how well they played when the game was on the line. That means a lot to me that they played so well when we absolutely had to have them. I think we're going to be fine offensively. We know Jayshon Robertson can play. We know Trey Smith can play. They're telling us Drew Richmond can play, who wasn't there tonight. So I think we're going to be fine offensively. I think most of what we have to fix, obviously, is on the other side of the football.
Thoughts, Ton?
My thoughts exactly. I thought our offense coming out the first half, you know, we're kind of like a days ago. We were trying to feel things out. Second half, offensive line played some good ball. If you noticed, Dorman had plenty of time back there to throw the ball. No pressure. He got, you know, offensive line were pretty good. You know, and another thing, the main thing is we didn't have a lot of plays. So we didn't have the ball as much. You know, 40 minutes to 20 minutes, that's a big difference. And also, like you said, defense, we got a lot to work on defense. But, you know, how many times do you play a Georgia Tech team? A team like Georgia Tech. So,
I hope.
Yeah. But, I agree with you, Ben. I think we got a lot to look forward on that offensive side of the ball. We still need a little bit of work on our defense, secondary. But other than that, I'm looking for, a pretty good season here.
Well, and defensively, guys, I mean, there's just no doubt that this thing better get better. Or these guys are going to lose some football games because you're not going to beat South Carolina playing like that with their quarterback play. You're not going to beat Georgia playing like that. You're not going to beat Florida playing like that. You're just not.
No.
Go ahead, Alex.
Well, and one thing, somebody on the Periscope asked about Juwan Jennings. Butch kind of dodged the question saying, you know, essentially we're going to know more when you get back to Knoxville. So there's an update on that. Talking about the defense, and Bino, thoughts on this, and this just shows you the disparity of how many plays Georgia Tech ran offensively again versus how many we ran. Our leading tackler had 23 tackles. Georgia's leading tackler had 7.
Wow.
We had 7 guys. We had 7 defensive players who had more tackles than their leading defender had. Defensive player.
And again, the number of plays run.
Well, that was almost 2-1.
2-1.
2-1.
I mean, you won a football game.
96-59.
They ran 96 total plays, sports fan. I'll tell you this. I've been kicking around here for, 3 decades now. That's the craziest football game. That's the craziest win I've ever seen, Ton.
Hey, remarkable. You know, considering the start of this game.
Yep.
You know, and we find out we got some ballers now. We got some guys that want to play some ball.
Hey, give it up for courage, you know, because Tennessee showed a lot of guts tonight. A lot of what we call testicular fortitude. And let's go back to the phones, get our next call in. T to the B, at your service tonight. I am Tony B, your king, your MC. Let's go back to our phones, and let's get our next call in on your Garza Law fifth quarter fan reaction. I want to thank my man Marcos Garza. He is available, ladies and germs, online, garzalaw.com, the great Marcos Garza. And Marcos, if you're out there tonight, and there's no doubt that he is, thank you, brother, for being there for us. He is an attorney for all seasons, for all reasons, and he has your six. Let's go back to the phones. Unfortunately, so does Bob Shoup every time the opposing offense takes the field.
It's awful.
They have your six as well.
Hey, Vino, the king of the low blows.
Tony, quit freaking eating into my microphone. Who do you think you are, me?
Almost.
You're going to get grease all over that microphone over there.
No grease.
I mean, Alex, the guy's been here one show, and he's freaking rocking some pizza.
Man.
You can hear him chomping, Bean. He's like talking to you. He's like trying to talk.
Hungry, you know.
He probably saw his picture when he walked in the studio and just thought he owned the place.
Well, there's something about that. Let's go back to our phones.
I'm at home, man. Let's get our next call in.
And hello and welcome on the Garza Law fifth quarter fan reaction.
NCTV, Paul H-Bomb, how are you?
Hey, H-Bomb, welcome in.
Man, first of all, I'm going to start off on the highest note I can. Can't wait for that UMass event and letting Neil and I participate in again. I think, and I'm actually bringing the wife and kids this time so that we can see firsthand what you guys are doing. It's just absolutely spectacular.
I invite anybody to please come to that. I think it's a completely incredible and wonderful and worthwhile thing, and it will make your season to see the volunteer spirit in action.
Well, I can't wait for that. I think it's spectacular. I'm glad. I appreciate, number one, what you guys are doing. It is 12:45 here, 12:40 in the a.m., so really impressed by y'all's effort tonight, but we knew it was going to be a long one. I tell you, I'm going to start with I'm a little bit relieved, but incredibly disappointed. You know what I mean? And I'm trying to keep it in perspective because a lot of great teams play pretty poorly. When you think about, say, USC, Ohio State, Washington started off pretty sluggish. There's no doubt we did. I mean, that was unbelievable, the sluggishness of the start. I was a little concerned there for a little bit with our offensive coordinator, with Larry. Is it Larry Scott, right?
Larry Scott, yep.
So some of the play calling, it just didn't make sense. A lot of the screen plays that were getting dropped on and some of the play calls throughout the game, ultimately we won, so it's hard to – it's easy to go back now, but I was a little baffled by quite a bit of it. But, you know, he ultimately scored 42 points, so, it doesn't matter. I'll be honest, Tony, I took your fecal blizzard comment and I retweeted to John Curry. That guy needs to be in your office tomorrow morning, and we need to be renegotiating. I retweeted that, the fecal blizzard comment. I thought that was absolutely spectacular.
It's not my line. It's a line I stole from Keith Hatfield, but first three times I used it, I gave him attribution, so it's my line now.
It is.
But the bottom line is that when you play that poorly on defense and you live to tell about it, you're a lucky son of a gun. And tonight we were extremely lucky to get out of there with that win. And your point is well taken in that a lot of teams played poorly in the first game. But do we have Ohio State's talent? No. Do we have their coaching? No. Do we have USC's talent? No. Do we have their coaching? No. Who else did you mention? I mean, here's the thing we saw last year. Bob Shoup is a recurring record. And you know what the recurring record is? The last defensive effort they had, the next team on the schedule sets a damn record.
Mm-hmm.
He's a recurring record.
I cannot, for the life of me, I had my father-in-law next to me watching the game he played back in the early 70s, who said, as an offensive lineman, he said, I would have destroyed these guys. Are they playing a prevent defensive line? What is going on here? I've never seen that. I don't know what the hell they were doing.
It's a great line. I've never seen tackles line up 4 yards deep. Tony, have you ever seen anything like what they were doing tonight?
You know what? If I'd have seen that, we're finna bust right up the middle. We're running right at them. We're gonna run right at them.
Which is exactly what happened.
You know? And that's what happened. You know, you gotta attack. You got to attack.
There were times where, you can't make this up. there were times where our first contact was 5 or 6 yards deep, but that's where our line, that's where our tackles were playing.
They were playing linebacker.
Those were down linebackers.
Yeah, they were down linebackers. So,
God bless poor Colton Jumper, y'all. He and my father-in-law made me take a video of it. On three occasions, he jumped at the air. He wasn't even in the realm of tackling somebody. He got clipped. He jumped up, thought the play was next to him, and he jumped into the air, not even towards the play. I mean, he had no idea what was happening.
And what's odd is he still ends up with 18 total tackles, even though only three were solo. He did manage to get himself in there a lot and get into the scoring. But I'm kind of with Bino. I thought he would have had a better game tonight. And, Bino, that's your point, right, against what Georgia Tech was going to try and do.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he played well in the first half. In the second half, I thought he took himself out of position quite a bit. Now, you know, most of their running, because their quarterback carried it 44 times, was actually to the perimeter rather than they didn't run the middle as much as I think people expected them to. So, you know, at least roamed the field and made some plays.
Yeah. I remember Jerry saying that it was going to be a spectacular game for him. And I don't know if I could call it that. But I know they did some stuff outside of what Jerry thought might have happened. But I just got a question, like, where on earth is Evan Berry or Elliott Berry? Where is somebody that can keep up with, you know, the type of speed that they saw on the outside tonight? Where are these guys? How are our coaches not smart enough to even take offensive players that if you can't stop them, you've got to start doing stuff outside of the box to stop that? I mean, I was stunned that Butch didn't go for two, frankly, when we had the opportunity.
No, he's not going to do that. That's not his style, man.
That game ended that way.
That's not his style. That's not Butch's style. He ain't going to go for two. Last year, He had the ball right there on the goal line against A&M. He should have gone for two. He's not going to do that. It's not his DNA. It's not his makeup. But, hey, I agree with Paul Johnson for what he did. I think it was smart of him to go for two. I don't necessarily like the play call, but I appreciate your phone call tonight, and I thank you for the call.
All right, guys. Keep it up.
Thank you. Bino, what do you make of Paul Johnson going for two there and lining up and saying, hey, come on, let's end this thing?
Now, I thought it's exactly what he should have done, Tony. It didn't work, and T-Rob's right. It, you know, you wonder about the play call, but, you know, Taquan Marshall played, I mean, just a fantastic game. He had to be totally gassed. He had four, like I said, he had 44 carries. A quarterback had 44 carries in the football game. I thought we should have done the same thing, to be quite honest. I would have put the game in our offense's hand rather than put our defense back out there. It worked out, but I don't blame Paul Johnson at all. Matter of fact, I thought Butch should have done the same thing.
865-200-5402. For the first time tonight, we actually have lines available, which offends me because it's only 1:46 in the Eastern time zone. As you're listening to the Garza Law, fifth quarter, and if you want to jump in with us tonight, 865-200-5402. The way this show works, because we've had some folks get on hold and then jump off, nobody's answering your phone call. We take them randomly. Nobody's screening a phone call here. You are invited to call the forum. Anybody can jump in here. Just don't double dip or I'll blow your ass up. And that means no. We have a one call per limit per show. But other than that, I'm here for you. We are here for you. We are here to take your phone call tonight. And would love to hear from you this evening at 865-200-5402. And now all lines are currently jammed. So do what, Tone?
All lines.
Oh, they filled up like that.
They filled up like that.
I mean, come on, bro.
Definitely. Well, you know, look who's on there. The TNT with the A. TNT and the A.
TNT and A. And what about B? What about Bino?
Oh, yeah. My man, Bino. Oh, can't forget Bino. Oh, can't forget him. Now.
I mean,
good.
you just
hey,
did.
My apologies, my brother. My apologies.
No problem. I'll tell you what, T-Rob. You can forget me in about 13 minutes because I ain't going beyond 2 a.m.
865-200-5402. Next call in. Hello and welcome. Garza Law. Fan reaction. Fifth quarter. Hello.
Hey, Tony, it's great to have T-Rob in there, and because I've got a specific question for T-Rob. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah.
Brother, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Good. And I just want to, I'm not trying to kiss anybody's butt, but I just want to let you know that I thought you threw the prettiest deep ball of any quarterback in UT history. And my two favorite players of all time are you and Connor Tallway. And here's what I saw. I watched a little bit of Quentin Dormady in some orange and white and scrimmages and stuff. And I think he throws a great deep ball. And what I saw tonight in that first half, they got him boxed in there, making him throw those 3, 4, 7, and 10-yard passes. And it wasn't until about the fourth quarter when they finally turned him loose and let him start throwing the ball down the field.